Thank you, Sophocles, I say, reaching to scratch him behind the ears. Kavax slams me into a hug before departing. Take care, Reaper. He trundles up the ramp. Fishing! He booms down at me before he's gone 10 meters. What? Do reds fish? I never have. There is a river through my estate on Mars. We will go, you and I, when this is done, and sit by the bank and toss our lines, and I will teach you how to tell a pike from a trout. I'll bring the whiskey, I say. He points a finger at me. Yes, and we will be drunk together. Yes! He disappears into the ship, throwing his arm around Thraxa and calling to his other daughters about a miracle he just witnessed. I think he might be the luckiest of us, I say, as Mustang comes up from behind me to watch the Telamonas ship depart. Is it ridiculous if I ask you to be careful? She asks. I promise not to do anything rash, I reply with a wink. I'll have the Valkyrie with me. I doubt anyone will want to tangle with us for long. She glances over my shoulder to where Seffi waits by my own shuttle, admiring the engines of other ships as they fly away. Mustang looks like she wants to say something, but is wrestling with how. You're not invincible. She touches the armor of my chest. Some of us might want you around after all of this. After all, what's the point of all this if you go and die on me? You hear? I hear. Do you? She looks up at me. I don't want to be left alone again. So come back. She wraps her knuckles on my chest and turns to go to her ship. Mustang. I chase after her and grab her arm, pulling her back toward me. Before she can say anything, I kiss her there, surrounded by metal and engine roar. Not some delicate kiss, but a hungry one, where I pull her head to mine and feel the woman beneath the weight of duty. Her body presses against me, and I feel the shudder of fear that this will be the last time. Our lips part, and I sink into her, rocking there, smelling her hair and gasping at the tightness in my chest. I'll see you soon. Chapter 44 The Lucky Ones. I pace my bridge like a caged wolf, his meal just beyond the bars. The kindness of me hidden again behind the Reaper's savage face. Vega, are the howlers in position? I ask. Behind and below me, the skeleton crew of Blues chatter in their sterile pit, faces illuminated by holoscreens, subdermal implants pulsing as they sink with the ship. The captain, Pellis, a wayfish gentleman who was a former lieutenant aboard the Pax when I first took the ship, awaits my orders. Yes, sir, Virga says from her station. Forward elements of the enemy fleet will be within long-range guns in 4 minutes. The arrogant might of gold unfolds across the black of space, an unending sea of pale, white splinters. I'd give anything to be able to reach out and shatter them. My own capital ships cluster in 3 groups around our powerful dreadnoughts above the North Pole of Io. Mustang and Romulus marshal their forces around the south. And together, 8,000 kilometers apart, we watch Roke's fleet cross the void between Europa and Io to bring us battle. Enemy cruisers are 10,000 kilometers. A blue intones. There is no preamble for my fleet. No benediction or rite that we perform before battle, like the Golds. For all our rite, we seem so pale and simple compared with them. But there's a kinship here on my ship. One I saw in the engine rooms, in the gunnery stations, on the bridge. A dream that links us together and makes us brave. Give me Orion, I say without turning. A hollow of the overweight, ornery blue ripples into life in front of me, She's 100 kilometers away in the heart of Persephone's howl. One of my other 4 dreadnoughts, sitting in a command chair synced with every ship captain in my fleet, save those of my strike force. Much of today relies upon her and the pirate fleet she's assembled in the months since last we saw one another. She's been raiding core shipping lines, drawing blues to her cause. Enough to help the Sun staff the ships we stole from the Jackal with loyal men and women. "Big fleet," Orion says of our enemy, impressed. "I knew I never should have answered your call. I was rather enjoying being a pirate."
"I can tell," I say.
"Your stateroom's gaudy enough to make a silver blush." The Pax has been her home for the last year and a half. She took over my old quarters and filled it right up with the booty of her raids. Rugs from Venus, paintings from private gold collections. I found a Titian jammed behind a bookcase. What can I say? I like pretty things. "Well, pull this off today, and I'll find you a parrot for your shoulder. How about that?" "Ah, Pelus told you I was looking for one. Good man, Pelus." The waifish captain tilts his head genteelly behind me. "Damn hard to find parrots when you can't dock planetside anywhere. We found a hawk, a dove, an owl, but no parrot. If you make it a red one, I'll personally shoot a hole in Antonia Alseverus Julii's bridge."
"Red parrot it is," I say.
"Good, good. I suppose now I should go be about the battle." She laughs to herself and takes a tea from a valet on her bridge. "Just want to say thank you, Darrow, for believing in me, for giving me this. After today, Blue will have no master. Good speed, boy."
"Good speed, Admiral."
She vanishes. I glance back at the central sensor projection. The tactical readout floats before the windows as a to-scale globe of the Jupiter system. 4 tiny inner moons orbit Jupiter more closely than the 4 huge Galilean moons. My eyes focus on Thebe, the outermost of them and closest to Io. It's a small mass, barely larger than Phobos. Long since mined for valuable minerals, and now the home of a military base that was blasted apart in the early days of the war. 60 ticks till howler comms go black. Virga intones from her station as Victra enters the bridge, wearing thick golden armor painted with a red sling blade on the chest and back.
"The hell are you doing here?" I ask.
"You're here," she replies innocently.
"You're supposed to be on the shout of Mykos."
"This isn't the Mykos."
She bites her lip.
"Well, I suppose I got lost. I'll just follow you around so that doesn't happen again.
Prime."
"Severus sent you, didn't he?"
"His heart's a black little thing, but it can break. I'm here to make sure it doesn't by keeping you nice and cozy. Oh, and I want to say hello to Roke."
"What about your sister?" I ask.
"Roke first, then her."
She elbows me.
"I can be a team player, too."
Grinning, I turn back to the pit. "Virga, give me a helmet patch to the howlers."
"Aye, sir."
The comm in my ear crackles. I activate my armor's helmet. The transparent heads-up display shows me the tags on my crew, ranks, names, everything that's logged into the central ship register. I activate the comm hollow function, and a semi-translucent collage of my friends' faces appear over the sight of my ship's bridge.
"Sup, boss?"
Severo asks. His face is painted red with war paint, but bathed in blue light from his mech's HUD display.
"Need a goodbye kiss or something?"
"Just checking to make sure you're all tucked in."
"Your kin could have carved us a bigger nook,"
Severo mutters.
"It's foot to face to fart box in here."
"So you're saying Tactus would have liked it?"
Victra asks. She patched into the panel so I hear her voice in link.
I laugh. "What didn't he like?"
"Clothing, predominantly,"
Mustang replies from her own bridge. She wears her armor as well, pure gold with a red lion roaring on her chest.
"And sobriety."
Victra adds. This moon smells like royal shit, Clan mumbles from his own starshell mech. Worse than a dead horse.
You're in a mech in vacuum, Holiday drawls.
I hear the clang and shouts of the people behind her in the hangar bay of my ship. She wears a huge blue handprint on her face, given to her by one of her obsidians.
It's likely not the moon.
Oh, then it must be me, Clan says. He sniffs. Oh-ho, it's me.
I told you to shower, Pebble mutters.
Howler Rule 17. Only pixies shower before battle, Severo says. I like my soldiers savage, stinky, and sexy. I'm proud of you, Clan. Thank you, sir.
Thraka, put your safety on,
Holiday shouts. Now!
Sorry, bloody damn obsidians walking around with their fingers on the bloody damn triggers. Shit is terrifying.
Why do we laugh and speak like children?
Sephi booms over the comm, so loud my eardrums rattle.
Bloody shit in a handbasket!
Severo yelps. There's a chorus of curses at Sephi's volume.
Turn down your output volume!
Clown snaps at the Queen.
I do not understand.
Your output!
What is output?
The quiet is a bit of a misnomer, eh?
Victra asks. Mustang snorts a laugh.
Sephi, bend down, Holiday barks. I can't reach. Bend down!
Holiday's found Sephi in the hangar and helps her turn down her output volume. The Obsidian Queen sleeps with her new pulse fist every night, but she's a bit behind on her understanding of telecommunication equipment. So, like the big girl asked, was there a reason for this little tete-a-tete? Holiday says.
Tradition, Holly,
Severo says, mimicking her twang.
Reaps a sentimental sap. He's probably going to give a speech.
No speech, I say. My odd little family whines and catcalls.
You're not going to admonish us to rage against the dying of the light?
Severo asks. But the joke feels strange, knowing it is what Roke would have said. My chest tightens again. I feel so much love for this band of misfits and oathbreakers. So much fear. I wish that I could protect them from this. Find some way to spare them the coming hell. Whatever happens, remember we're the lucky ones, I say. We get to make a difference today. But you're my family. So be brave. Protect each other. And come home.
You too, boss,
Severo says.
Break the chains,
Mustang says.
Break the chains, my friends echo.
Severo's face becomes a snarl as he booms out,
Howlers, go!
Oh! They howl like fools, cracking up. One by one, their images flicker away, and I'm left in the solitude of my helmet. I breathe and say a silent prayer to whoever is listening. Keep them safe. I let the helmet slither back into the neck of my armor. My blues watch me from their displays. A small coterie of red and gray marines stand by the door, waiting to escort me to the hangar. The strings of so many lives, from so many worlds, all intersecting here, at this moment around mine. How many will fray? How many will end this day? Victor smiles at me, and it seems I'm too lucky already for this day to end in joy. She should not be here. She should be across the void at the helm of an enemy battlecruiser. Yet she's here, with us, seeking the redemption she thought she could never have.
Once more into the breach, she says.
Once more, I reply. I address the crew.
How do you all feel?
Awkward silence. They exchange nervous glances, unsure of how to answer. Then a young blue woman with a bald head bursts up from her console.
We're ready to kill some bloody damn gulls.
Sir.
They laugh, tension broken.
Anyone else?
Victor booms. They roar in reply. Marines as young as 18 and as old as Lorne would be now slam their steel-heeled boots against the ground.
Pass me through to the fleet, I command. Broadcast on an open frequency to Quicksilver. Make sure the Golds can hear me, so they know where to find me.
Virga gives me a nod.
I'm live. My friends, this is the Reaper.
My voice echoes over the master comm in all 112 capital ships in my fleet, in the thousands of rip wings, in the leechcraft and the engine rooms and the med bays, where doctors and newly appointed nurses walk through empty beds with crisp white sheets, waiting for the flood.
38 minutes from now, Quicksilver and the Sons of Ares on Mars will hear it, and they'll boost the signal to the core. Whether we're alive at that time will depend on my dance with Roke.
In mine, in space, in city and sky, we have lived our lives in fear. Fear of death, fear of pain. Today, fear only that we fail. We cannot. We stand upon the edge of darkness, holding the lone torch left to man. That torch will not go out. Not while I draw breath. Not while your hearts beat in your chests. Not while our ships yet have menace in them. Let others dream. Let others sing. We chosen few are the fire of our people.
I beat my chest.
We are not red, not blue, or gold, or grey, or obsidian. We are humanity. We are the tide. And today we reclaim the lives that have been stolen from us. We build the future we were promised. Guard your hearts. Guard your friends. Follow me through this evil night, and I promise you, morning waits on the other side. Until then, break the chains!
I pull my razor from my arm and let it take the shape of my sling blade.
All ships, prepare for battle!
Chapter 45. The Battle of Ilium.
Red tribal drums played in the belly of one of my ships, the Evening Tide, beat through the speakers in a martial rendition of the Forbidden Song. A steady undulation of defiance as we rolled toward the Sword Armada.
I've never seen a fleet so large. Not even when we stormed Mars.
That was just two rival houses summoning allies. This is the conflict of peoples. And it is appropriately massive.
Unfortunately, Roke and I studied under the same teachers. He knows the battles of Alexander, of the Han armies, and Trafalgar. He knows the greatest threat to an overwhelming power is miscommunication, chaos. So he does not overestimate the power of his force. He subdivides into 20 smaller mobile divisions, giving relative autonomy to each praetor to create speed and flexibility. We face not one huge hammer, but a swarm of razors.
It's a nightmare, Victra murmurs.
I thought Roke would do this, but I still curse as I see it. In any space engagement, you must decide if you're killing enemy ships or capturing them. It seems he's intent on boarding, so we cannot slug it out with them and hope for the best. Nor can we lure his fleet into my trap from the first. They'll muscle through it and kill the howlers. Everything depends on the one advantage we do have, and it's not our ships. It is not our 100,000 obsidians I have packed in leechcraft. It is the fact that Roke thinks he knows me. And so his entire strategy will be predicated on how I would behave. so I decide to overshoot his estimation of my insanity and show him how little he really understands the psychology of Reds. Today, I lead the Pax on a suicide mission into the heart of his fleet. But I don't begin the battle. Orion does, soaring forward ahead of me on the Persephone's Howl with three-quarters of my fleet. They cluster in spheres, the smallest corvettes still 400 meters long. Most are half-kilometer-long torch ships, some destroyers, and the four huge dreadnoughts. Long-range missiles slither out from the gold ships and from our own. Miniature computer-guided countermeasures are deployed. And then Roke's fleet flashes into motion, and the black space between the two fleets erupts with flak, missiles, and long-range railgun munitions. Billions of credits worth of munitions spent in seconds. Orion shrinks the distance to Roke's fleet as Mustang and Romulus's ships hurtle toward the southern edge, per Io's pole, of Roke's formation, attempting to hit the only vulnerable place on a ship, the engines. But Roke's fleet is nimble, and 10 squadrons divide from the rest, orientating themselves so their bristling broadsides face the bows of the Moon Lord ships coming up from the planet's south pole and rake them with railgun fire. 100,000 guns go off simultaneously. Metal shreds metal. Ships vomit oxygen and men. But ships are made to take a beating. Huge hulks of metal subdivided into thousands of interlocking, honeycombed compartments designed to isolate breaches and prevent ships from venting with one railgun shot. From these floating castles stream thousands of tiny one-man fighter craft. They swarm in small squadrons through the no-man's land between our fleet and Roke's. Some packed with miniature nukes meant for killing capital ships. Helldivers and drill boys, trained night and day in sims by the Sons of Ares, fly with squadrons of synced blues. They slash into the Society's war-hardened pilots, led by rip-wings striped with gold. Romulus's force peels away from Mustang's to link with Orion, while Mustang continues toward the heart of the enemy formation, preparing the way for my thrust. We close to 300 kilometers, and the mid-range railguns open up. Huge barrages of 20-kilogram munitions hurtling through space at Mach 8. Flak shields plume over the entire gold formation. Closer to the ships, pulse shields throb iridescent blue as munitions crack into them and careen off into space. My strike force lingers behind the main battle. Soon it will become a war of boarding parties, leechcraft launching by the hundreds. Aggressive praetors will empty their ships of their marines and obsidians to claim enemy vessels, which they will then keep after the battle, per rules of naval law. Conservative praetors will hoard their men till the last, keeping them to repel boarding parties and use their ships as their main weapon of war. "Orion's given the signal," my captain says. "Set course for the Colossus. Engines to ramming speed." My ship rumbles under my feet. "Pallas, the trigger's yours. Ignore torch ships. Destroyers, or larger, are the order of the day." The ship groans as we hurtle forward from the back of Orion's fleet. "Escorts, keep tight. Match velocity." We pass the artillery ships, then the 4-kilometer-long Persephone's Howl, as we emerge out the center of Orion's front with the enemy, like a hidden spear, now driving into the 50 kilometers of no man's land, aiming for the heart of the enemy. Orion's ships fire chaff, creating a corridor to protect our mad approach. Roke will see what I intend now, and his capital ships drift back from mine, inviting me to the center of his huge formation as they rain fire down on my strike force. Our shields flicker blue. Enemy munitions sneak through the chaff and punish us. We return fire, raking a destroyer as we pass with a full broadside. It loses power. Leechcraft pour out of it to try and slip through our chaff tunnel, but our escorts shred the small craft. Still, we're hit by the guns of a dozen ships.
Red glows around our shields. They fail in stages. Local generators shorting out on our starboard side. Instantly, our hull is punctured in 7 places. The honeycomb network of pressurized doors activates, shutting the compromised levels of my ship off from the rest. I lose a torch ship. Half a click off bow, a full barrage of rail munitions rake her from stem to stern, fired by Antonia's dreadnought, the Pandora. "Seems my sister is enjoying my ship," Victor says. Bodies erupt out of the torch ship's bridge, but Antonia continues to fire on the much smaller ship until the nuclear core of her engines implodes, pulsing white twice before devouring the ship's back half. The shockwave pushes our craft sideways. Our EMP and pulse shielding holds, lights flickering just once. Something huge slams into the 10-meter-thick bulkhead beyond the bridge. The wall bends inward to my right, the shape of a railgun munition stretching the metal inward like an alien baby. Our gunners rip apart the 1.5-kilometer destroyer that fired on us, loosing 80 of our railguns directly into our bridge. 200 men. Gone. We're taking no prisoners at this stage. It's staggering the amount of violence the PAX can deal out, and staggering the amount we're taking. Antonia dissects another part of my strike force. "Hope of Tinos is down," my blue sensor officer says quietly. "The cry of Thebes is going nuclear. Tell Tinos and Thebes' helmsman to punch negative 45 their midline and abandon ship," I snap. The ships obey and alter course to ram Antonia's flagship. She reverses her engines, and my dying ships carry on harmlessly into space. One goes nuclear. We're outmatched and outgunned here in the heart of the enemy formation. Trapped. No escape. A sphere forming around us. I only have 4 torch ships left. Make that 3. "Multiple deck fires," an officer intones. "Munitions detonations on deck 17. Engines 1 through 6 are down. 7 and 8 are at 40% capacity. The PAX dies around me. Roke's Moonbreaker looms ahead, twice the length of my ship, 3 times the girth. A floating military dock city, 8 kilometers long, with a huge crescent bow, like a shark with an open mouth swimming sideways. She retreats from us at the same pace we advance, making sure we cannot ram her as she punishes us with her superior weaponry. Roke thought I would pull a Carnus, try to slam into their capital ship with my own. That's now impossible. Our engines are nearly done. Our hull compromised. "All forward guns, target their railguns and missile launchers on their top deck. Carve us a shadow." I pull up a hologram of the ship and circle the area of fire with my fingers, directing the fire as Victra gives commands to the fighter groups which we've held onto till now. The rip wings scream out into space. The PAX rotates to present her main gun banks to the Colossus to open a broadside. It doesn't matter what we do at this stage. We're a wolf pinned to the ground by a bear, and it's smashing our legs one by one, carving off our ears, our eyes, our teeth, but keeping our belly nice and ready for a raking. My ship shudders around me. Blues rip out of sync, vomiting in the pits as the data nerves in the ships, to which they're linked, die one by one. My helmsman, Arnas, has a seizure as the engines are shredded. "The Dancer of Faran is gone," Captain Palos says. "No escape pods." It was the skeleton crew, but still 40 die. Better than 1,000. Only 2 torch ships of my initial 16 remain. They race around Antonius Pandora behind us, but that ship is a black, hulking monster. She shreds the fast movers till they're dead metal. And when escape pods launch from the quiet ships, she shoots them down.
Victra watches the murder quietly, adding it to Antonia's debt. Roke is inviting us to launch our leechcraft, drawing the Colossus closer to my dead ship. A kilometer away now. I accept the invitation. Launch all leechcraft at the surface of the Moonbreaker, I say. Now, fire the spit tubes. Hundreds of empty suits fire out the spit tubes as they would in an iron rain. 200 leechcraft launch from the four hangars of my ship, spewed out in a stream of ugly metal. Each could carry 50 men to pump into the guts of the Moonbreaker. Controlled remotely by blue pilots on board Persephone's Hull, they race fast as they can to cross the dangerous space between the two capital ships. And they're wiped away before they make it half the distance, as Roke detonates a series of low-yield nuclear warheads. He guessed my move, and now my flight of ships is nothing but debris floating between the two vessels. Emergency sirens flash on the ceiling of my bridge. Our long-range sensors are down. Our guns, smashed. Multiple deck breaches. Hold together, I murmur. Hold together, Pax. We're receiving a transmission, Virga says. Roke appears in the air before me. Darrow? He sees Victra, too. Victra? It is done. Your ship is dead in the water. Tell your fleet to surrender, and I will spare your lives. He thinks he can end this rebellion without putting us in the grave. The entitlement of it rankles me. But we both know he needs my body to show the worlds. If he destroys my ship and kills me, they'll never find me in the wreckage. I look at Victra. She spits on the ground in challenge. What is your answer? Roke demands. I bend my fingers crudely. Fuck you. Roke looks off screen. Legit Drusus. Launch all leechcraft. Tell the Cloud Knight to bring me the Reaper. Dead or alive? Just make sure he's recognizable.
Chapter 46 Helldiver. I looked to the Blues at their station. Most were here when I took this ship, when I renamed her. They became pirates with Orion, rebels with me. You all heard him, I say. Well done. You did the Pax proud. Now say goodbye, get your shuttle, and I'll see you soon. There's no shame in this. They salute, and Captain Pellis opens the hatches in the bottom of the pit. The Blues begin their slide down the narrow shaft into the berth where there should be escape pods, but we replaced with heavily armored shuttles. My own escape pod is built into the side of the bridge. But Victra and I aren't escaping. Not today. Time to go, baby boy, Victra says. Now. I pat the doorframe of the bridge. Thank you, Pax, I say to the ship. One more friend lost to the cause. I follow Victra and the Marines in a sprint down the empty halls. Red lights pulse, sirens wail. Small thumps reverberate through the hull as we go. Roke's leechcraft will be swarming the Pax by now, melting holes through her sides and pumping in boarding parties of greys and obsidians, led by gold knights. Instead of me, they'll find an abandoned ship. A molten circle throbs on the hallway wall beside a grav lift as we board. I watch the orange deepen till it is the color of the sun. The drums still beat through the speakers. Thump, thump, thump. Victra leaves a mine behind as a present for the boarding party. We hear it detonate 10 levels above us as the grav lift deposits us on level -3 in the auxiliary hangar. Here my true assault force waits. 30 heavy assault shuttles with their ramps down. Blues performing flight checks in the cockpits. Orange mechanics working furiously to prime engines, fill fuel tanks. Each ship is filled with 100 Valkyrie in full, smart armor. Reds and greys accompany them in equal number for special weapons tasks. The Obsidians stomp their pulse axes and razors as I run past, a thunderous chanting of my name. I find Holiday in the center of the hangar, standing with Sephi and a coterie of Valkyrie, who will be my personal squad. With them, praying in a small group, are the Hell Divers I requested from Dancer. They are less than half the size of the Obsidians. "Ship is breached," I say to Holiday. She jerks her head at a squad of Reds, who rush off to cover our back. Distance is less than a click.
"No," Holiday says, with an elated laugh. "That close?"
"I know," I reply excitedly. "They want to get close, so we can't shoot down their leechcraft."
"So now we give them a kiss,"
Victor says, with a little purr for Holiday. "And some tongue." Holiday bobs her cinder block head up and down.
"Then let's stop John."
Sephi pulls a handful of dried mushrooms from a satchel.
"God spread?" she asks. "You will see dragons."
"War's scary enough, darling,"
Victor says. Then, as an aside, "I one time tripped on that shit with Cassius for a week on the Thermic." She catches my look.
"Well, it was before I met you. And have you ever seen him with his shirt off?"
"Don't tell Severo, by the way." Holiday and I abstain from the mushrooms as well. Automatic weapons fire rattles from a hall just beyond the hangar.
"The hour is here," I boom to the 3,000 Obsidian in the assault shuttles. "Sharpen your axes. Remember your training. Hyrgla Ragnar. Hyr Glar Ragnar," they roar.
It means Ragnar lives. The Queen of the Valkyrie salutes her razor to me and begins the Obsidian war chant. It spreads through the black armored assault craft, a horrible dread sound. This time it is on my side. I've brought the Valkyrie to the heavens, and now I let them loose.
"Victor, are you prime?"
I ask, worried about Antonia being so near. Is my friend distracted by her sister?
"I'm gory damn splendid, baby boy,"
the tall woman says.
"Take care of that pretty little ass of yours."
She slaps my butt before backpedaling, blowing me an obnoxious kiss and jogging to her shuttle.
"I'll be right behind."
I'm left with the Hell Divers. They're smoke and burners, watching me with evil red eyes. "First one through gets the bloody damn laurel," I say. "Helmets on." Little needs to be said to such men. They nod their heads and grin. We depart. I fly 30 meters upward on my grav boots to land atop of one of the 4 claw drills we confiscated from the Platinum Mining Company in the inner asteroid belt. They stand in a row on the hangar deck, each 50 meters apart, like grasping hands, the cockpit where elbow would be, the dozen drill bits on the deck where fingers would reach. Each is retrofitted by Rolo to have thrusters on the back, and thick plates of armor extends down the sides. I slide into the cockpit, enlarged for my frame and armor, and slip my hands into the digital control prism.
"Fire them up," I say.
A familiar thrum of energy goes through the drill, vibrating the glass around me. I grin like a madman. Perhaps I am one. But I knew I could not win this battle without altering the paradigm. And I knew Roke would never be driven into a trap or lured into an asteroid belt for fear of exposing his larger force to ambushes. So, I had only one recourse. Hide my ambush in a flaw of character. He always preached for me to step back, to find peace. Of course he thought he knew how to beat me, but I'm not fighting as the man he knew today, as a gold. I'm a bloody damn Hell Diver, with an army of giant, mildly psychotic women behind me, and a fleet of state-of-the-art warships crewed by pissed-off pirates, engineers, techs, and former slaves. And he thinks he knows how to fight me? I laugh as the claw drill shakes my seat, filling me with a dormant, crazed sort of power. An enemy boarding party breaches the hangar from the same grav lift we took. They stare up at the huge claw drills and evaporate as Victor's shuttle fires a railgun at them from point-blank range. "Remember the words of our golden leader," I say to the hell divers. "Sacrifice, obedience, prosperity. These are the better parts of humanity." "Bloody damn slag," one says over the comm. "I'll show her the better part of my humanity." "Drill's hot," I order. They echo confirmation, one by one. "Helmets up. Let's burn." I flip the rotation toggle on my claw drill, clockwise. Beneath, the drill whirs. I plunge both hands forward in the control prism. Existence shakes. Teeth rattle. The metal deck sags under me. Molten metal peels back. I lurch 10 meters down into the ship, carving through the deck in 5 seconds. And the one after that. I sink again, falling through the floor of the hangar bay completely. Chewed metal around the cockpit. Then the next deck goes. Then the next. Heat builds along the drill as I slam through more of the ship, leaving the Valkyrie behind. Slow, the drill jams. Slow, and you die. And this speed is the pulse of my people. Momentum flowing into more momentum. My claw drill is building up a hell of a pace, slamming through the decks, murdering metal with molten tungsten carbide teeth. I glimpse fractured sights of the other claw drills ripping through the heart of the ship as we fall through the dimly lit barracks. Each drill glowing with heat and then slamming into the next deck. It is a glorious, horrible sight. Going through a mess hall, through a water tank, then a hallway where a boarding party stumbles back from the debris and stares at the megalithic drills carving through the ship like the molten hands of some hilarious metal god. "Don't slow!" I roar, entire body convulsing in the seat. I'm out of control, going too fast, drill too hot. Then... nothing. I breach the belly of the packs. Silence of space grips me. Weightless. I float like a spear through water toward the huge colossus. Leechcraft bound for the packs streak past me, one close enough I can see the captain's wide eyes inside the cockpit. Another flies straight into my superheated drill's mouth, shredded in seconds. Men and debris cartwheel to the side. The other drills exit farther down the packs' belly, bursting into space, diving for the Moonbreaker. Around us, the battle rages. Blue explosions, huge fields of flak. Mustangs group, racing along the edge of Roke's formations, exchanging punishing broadsides. Several still wait, hiding. I can feel the confusion in the enemy gunners. I'm in the center of their Leechcraft assault teams. They can't fire. Their computers won't even register the vessel classification. It'll look like a hunk of debris shaped like an arm from the elbow down. I doubt the bridge will even know what it is without seeing it with their naked eye. "Blast engines," I say. The engines of the retrofitted claw drill kick behind me and hurl me down at the black surface of the Colossus. Recognizing my threat, a ripwing sprays me with chain gun rounds. Thumb-sized bullets slam silently into the drill. The armor holds. Not so on the claw drill beside mine. When a railgun round fired from a 5-meter gun along the top crest of the Moonbreaker punches through the cockpit, murdering the hell diver in it, his ship shatters. One of his drill bits slams into my glass cockpit, cracking it. A dozen more rounds shred the Leechcraft beside me. Roke might not know what the 30-meter projectiles coming from my ship are, but he's willing to kill his own men to stop their approach. Grey metal blurs toward me,
A railgun slug, fired from the Colossus, punches through 3 leechcraft in front of my ship before striking the bottom of my claw drill, at the wrist. It tears up the length of the drill, erupts up through the floor of my cockpit, between my legs, inches from my balls, scraping along my chest, almost taking my head off at the jaw. I jerk back, and the slug slams into the metal support of the cockpit, shattering the glass and bending the bar outward like a melting plastic straw. I gasp, knocked half unconscious by the kinetic energy transference. White spots flash across my vision. I shake myself, trying to bring my senses back. I've spun off course. This rig isn't meant for steering. About to slam into the Moonbreaker's deck. Instinct doesn't save me. My friends do. The claw drill's engines are slaved to the bank of blues back on Orion's ship. Someone reverses the thrusters at the last moment so I don't crash. I'm slammed back in my seat as the claw drill slows and then lands gently onto the surface of the Colossus. I jerk in my seat, laughing in fear. Bloody damn! I whoop to my distant savior, whoever they are. Thank you! But the claw drill itself is all manual. Blues can't operate the digits any better than I can plot slingshots around a planet. My hands dance over the controls, flowing into my old mode of labor. I reactivate the drill, using my engines to push me down like a nail into the surface of the ship. Metal wheezes, bolts rattle, and I begin to gnaw through the top layer of armor, which they said no leechcraft could penetrate. Pressure hisses out around my drill. I ramp up the revolutions, my hands dancing through the controls, shifting the drill bits as they overheat, cycling through cooled units. Space disappears. I burrow into the warship, carving not in a straight line, but a tunnel toward the front of the ship. One deck, 2 decks, chewing through halls and barracks and generators and gas lines. It's hideous, and as savage a thing as I've ever done. I just pray I don't hit a munitions store. Men and women and debris fly out into space through the hole I've carved, like autumn leaves sucked from the various deck levels I penetrate. Bulkheads will seal off the wounds, but those caught between the bulkheads and the tunnel are good as dead. 300 meters into the ship, my claw drill breaks down. Drill bits spent and engine overheating. I reach down to pop my cockpit canopy to abandon the drill, but my hand slips on the lever. Blood coats it. I search my body frantically, but my armor isn't punctured. The blood isn't from me. It floats off the right cockpit wall, slick around the round railgun slug that pierced the 3 leechcraft to embed itself in the support beam of my claw drill. Bits of hair and a fragment of bone clump in the clotting blood. I leave my claw drill behind for the vacuum of the tunnel I carved. Air no longer gushing from the ship. It's calm now, the pressure already vented, and the emergency bulkheads closed to quarantine the compromised hull. The gravity generator in this section of the ship must have been hit. My hair floats in my helmet. I look up. At the end of the tunnel, where I penetrated the hull, is a little keyhole to the stars. A dead man drifts just beyond it, slowly spiraling. A shadow grips him as Antonia's flagship passes beyond, blocking the light reflected from Jupiter's surface. Like the man, I'm left in darkness, alone in the belly of the Colossus. My calm a flood of war chatter. Victra is launching from our hangar. Orion and the Moon Lords are in flight, knocked off the poles of Io and bound for Jupiter. Mustang's flagship is now under assault by Roke's ship, as Antonia leads the rest of his fleet after the retreating Telemannuses and Ra's. Still, Severo waits. 30 meters above me, something moves out from one of the levels I carved through, peering into the 20-meter-wide tunnel. My helmet identifies an active weapon. I fly upward, activating my pulse shield as I go.
only to find a young grey staring at me through the plastic faceplate of an emergency oxygen mask. He floats, one arm holding a ragged length of metal wall. Blood coats him. Not his own. The body of one of his friends floats behind him. He's shaking. My drill must have gone through his entire platoon, and then space pulled their bodies out, leaving him alone here. The terror of me is reflected in his eyes. He raises his scorcher, and I react, without thinking, putting my razor into the side of his heart. I make him a carcass. He dies wide-eyed and young, and he floats there upright, till I put my foot on his chest so I can pull my blade out. We drift away from each other, little droplets of blood dancing off my blade in the zero gravity. Then the gravity generators reboot, and my feet clump to the floor. The blood splatters over them. His body flops to the ground. Light floods in behind me from the tunnel shaft. I pull myself away from the dead man and peer up into the tunnel to see a shuttle ripping in out of space. More follow. A whole cavalcade of assault craft led by Vitra. Rip wings chase them, but mounted guns on the back of the assault craft spray high-energy, fist-sized rounds at them, shredding the rip wings. More will come. Hundreds more. We must move fast. Speed and aggression are only advantage here. Victor's transport slows dramatically in the tunnel beyond my level, just above the claw drill. Valkyrie pour out to join me. More transports unload on levels above. Holiday and several Reds with battle armor move with the Obsidians, carrying breaching equipment across the airless room, toward the bulkhead door that seals us off from the rest of the ship. They slam the thermal drill into the metal. It begins glowing red. They deploy a pulse bubble over the metal hatch, so that when we breach, we don't activate more bulkheads.
"Breach green in 15," Holiday says.
Victor stands to the side, listening to enemy chatter.
"Response teams inbound. More than 2,000 mixed units."
She's also patched to the strategic command on Orion's ship, so she can gather battle data from the huge sensor arrays on the flagship. Looks like Roke launched more than 15,000 men at us in his leechcraft. Most will be in the packs by now, burrowed through to find me. Silly bastards. Roke gambled big. Bet wrong. And I've just brought 3,000 crazed obsidian berserkers to a mostly empty warship. The poet is going to be pissed.
10,
Holiday says.
"Valkyrie! On me!"
I boom, lifting my hands in a triangle formation. The 100 obsidians step over the debris of the commissary and gather behind me, just as we trained them to do on the journey from Jupiter. Sephi's on my left hip, Victor's on my right, and Holiday behind. The superheated metal door sags. The Reds and Greys back away. All along the tunnel, on the 10 levels I carved through, teams like this will be preparing to breach just like us. 2 of the other claw drills hit home. 2,000 obsidians are breaching there as well. Greys, Reds, and a scattering of sympathizer golds will lead them against the security forces who take trams and grav lifts to ferry themselves to the new battlefront inside the ship. This is going to be a firestorm. Close quarters combat. Smoke. Screams. The worst of war.
"Full power to shields,"
I say in Nagal, facing the Valkyrie. They ripple iridescent as shields over their armor.
"Kill anything with a weapon. Harm nothing without one. Doesn't matter the color. Remember our target. Clear me a path. Herglar Ragnar." "Herglar Ragnar,"
they roar, beating their chests, embracing the madness of war. Most will have taken the berserker fungus in the shuttlecraft. They'll feel no pain. They move foot to foot, eager for the succor of battle. Victra vibrates next to me. I remember sitting with her in Mickey's lab as she told me how she loves the smell of battle. The old sweat in the gloves, the oil on the guns, the pulled muscles and shaking hands afterward. It's the honesty of it, I realize. That's what she loves. Battle never lies. Victor, stay at my side, I say. Pair up for the Hydra if we encounter Golds.
Nyarlathotagog,
Seffi says from behind me.
Sinchirika.
There is no pain, only joy, they chant, deep in the embrace of the god's bread. Seffi begins the war bellow, her voice higher than Ragnar's. Her two wing sisters join her, then their wing sisters, until dozens fill the comm with their song, giving me a sense of grandeur as my mind tells my body to flee. This is why the obsidians chant, not to sow terror, but to feel brave, to feel kinship instead of isolation and fear. Sweat drips down my spine. Fear is not real. Holiday deactivates her safety.
Nyarlathotagog!
My razor goes rigid. Pulse weapon shudders and whines, priming. Body trembles, mouth full of ashes. Wear the mask, hide the man, feel nothing, see everything. Move and kill, move and kill. I am not a man. They are not men. The chanting swells.
Sintirika!
Fear is not real. If you're watching, Eo, it's time to close your eyes. The Reaper has come, and he's brought hell with him. Chapter 47 Hell.
Breach!
Holiday roars. The door falls open. I rush into the pulse field surrounding the breach point. Everything condenses. Sights, sounds, the movement of my own body. All a haze. Holiday's scatterflash cackles through the 2-meter opening in the bulkhead, frying any unshielded optic nerves on the other side. A secondary fusion grenade detonates. I jump through the hole, into the smoke, going right. Victra comes with. Seffi goes left. Enemy fire hits us immediately. My shield cackles with the sound of hail hitting a tin roof. The end of the hall, a chaos of muzzle flashes and pulse fire. Superheated projectiles slice through the smoke. I fire my pulse fist, arm jerking spasmodically, ducking and moving so I don't block the entrance. Something slams into me. I stumble into the left wall, superheated particles screaming from my fist. My shield crackles with coil gun rounds that impact the energy barrier and fall, flattened to the ground at my feet. More obsidian fill the hall behind me. They move so fast. It's a cacophony of sound. My tactical mind shoves the facts to the front. We're pinned down. Men die in the breach. Must move forward. Something whizzes past my head. It detonates behind, at the entrance. Limbs and armor slop onto the floor. The helmet mutes the massive noise, saving my eardrums. I stumble forward, trying to get out of the kill zone. Another grenade lands among us, detonating after an obsidian dives upon it. More meat for the grinder. Must close the distance. Can't see anything in front of me. So much smoke. Fire.
To hell with this.
With a roar of frustration, I activate my grav boots and rocket down the narrow hall 80 kilometers an hour toward our assailants, firing as I go. Flying a meter above the floor. Victor follows. It's a whole squad of 20 greys led by a gold legate in brilliant silver armor. I crash into the gold, razor outstretched, piercing his shield and spearing his brain. Crash to the ground, arm pinned under me. The grey response team separates from one another, keeping me at the center as I struggle to my feet. One shoots an ion charge into my back. Blue lightning spasms over my shields, killing them. I stab one grey through the neck with my razor. Two others fire into my chest. My armor dense with a dozen rounds. I stumble back. A heavy railgun with a boring round in the chamber levels at my head. I dip and dodge to the side, slipping on blood, going down.
The gun goes off and opens a hole the size of a man's head in the floor. Then Victra smashes into the greys, bursting side to side with her grav boots, an angry wrecking ball, shattering bones between the walls and her heavily armored body. Then the obsidians are among the greys, hacking them to pieces with their pulse axes. The greys are screaming, falling back around the corner where they have fire support. A grey's leg is slashed off by Sethi, and he stumbles, firing his weapon into the wall. She rips his head clean off from behind.
This is horror.
The smoke, the twitching bodies, and evaporation of blood as it boils out of charred wounds. A dying man's urine pools around my armor, hissing against the superheated barrel of my pulse fist as Victra helps me up.
Thanks. A frightening bird helmet nods to me without expression.
As the rest of my platoon files through the breach, I move forward to the corner around which several of the greys escaped. Another enemy response squad hastily sets up a heavy weapon mounted on a floating grav pod about 30 meters down near a grav lift entrance. When it fires, a quarter of the wall above me melts. I order Holiday take my place at the corner with Trigg's ambifire.
4 tins, 1 gold, I say. They've got a mounted QR-13. Slag 'em.
She adjusts her rifle's multi-use barrel.
Yes, sir.
At our breach point, 6 Valkyrie are down. A huge woman's helmet peels back into her armor. She vomits blood. Half her torso smokes, molten armor still melting her flesh. She tries to stand, laughing at the pain. High on God's bread. But this is a new type of war to these women, with new injuries. Unable to support herself, the obsidian slumps against a sister who calls to Sethi. The young queen looks at the wounds and sees Victra shake her head. A quicker learner than the rest of them, Sethi knew well what this war would cost her people. But staring it in the face is something different altogether. She says something of home to the woman, something of the sky and the feathers at summer's twilight. I don't see the blade she slips into the base of the dying woman's skull until she pulls it back out. A hologram of Mustang's face flashes in the corner of my screen. I open the link.
Darrow, have you breached?
We're in. Double for my teams. Pressing to the bridge now.
What's what?
You need to hurry. My ship's under heavy fire.
We're in. You're supposed to bug out. Head to Thebe.
Roke used EMPs.
Her voice is tense.
Our shielding kept us up, but half my fleet's engines are squabbed. We're sitting dead, punching it out with him. Soon as your claw drill hit, the Colossus started shooting to kill. They're ripping us apart. We're outgunned hard. Main batteries are already at half strength.
A sick feeling rises in my gut. Roke can see us on the cameras in his ship. He knows the strength of my boarding party. It's only a matter of time till I reach the bridge. Soon he'll make an announcement over the comm for me to surrender, or he'll kill her.
Get to the gory damn bridge and put him down. Register?
Register.
I turn to face my troops.
We gotta move, I say. Victra, take squad command. I'm going digital. Sethi, range ahead.
Holiday, any time,
Victra says eagerly, pacing back and forth in the hall.
The little lion needs our help. Come on, come on!
Hold your tits,
Holiday mutters, adjusting her rifle and toggling the corner shot feature. The barrel joints rotate, so it peeks around the wall and feeds the visual link directly into her bionic eye. 4 quick bursts tear out of the gun. 30 rounds each from the ammo magazine in the back of her armor.
Go!
Victra and I burst around the corner, eating up meters as a grey tries to take his companion's place at the gun. I cut him down with my pulse fist, and Victra exchanges a 4-move cravat set with the gold, before skewering him with a thrust to the chest. I finish him with a stab to the throat. Holiday has her commandos haul the QR-13 with us, only able to keep pace with our long legs because of our heavy armor. As we press for the bridge at a full sprint, other elements of my invasion force make for vital ship functions with a new, frantic speed. It's a lightning strike.
Greys can't move with this speed because they rely on tactics, leapfrog maneuvers, corner shots, and sly tech. The Obsidian are straight battering rams. It's tempting to surge ahead, focus only on getting to the bridge, but I can't abandon my plan. My platoons need me to guide them using the battle map on my HUD. Speaking to red and grey platoon leaders, I coordinate on the run as Victra leads us through the maze of metal halls and ambushes. As the platoons are pinned down, I use my comm to maneuver other platoons through grav lifts and halls to flank entrenched security teams. It's an intricate dance. Not only are we racing against the destruction of Mustang's ship, but we're racing against the return of the Leechcraft. Roke knows this, and less than 3 minutes into our insertion, the ship goes into full lockdown protocol. All grav lifts and trams and bulkheads sealed off, creating a honeycomb of obstacles throughout the ship. We can only advance 50 meters at a time. It's a devilish system. Pins down boarding forces, a security teams with digital keys run about the ship at ease, flanking and creating deadly kill boxes and crossfires that can shred even a boarding party like mine. There's no way to combat it. This is the grind of war. No matter the tech or the tactics, it all comes down to terrifying moments crouching chalk-mouthed at a corner as a friend lays down cover fire and you try not to trip over the high-tech gear that's wrapped around your body as you advance, head lowered, legs churning. It's not bravery. It's fear of shaming yourself in the eyes of your friends that keeps you moving. As we melt our way through bulkhead after bulkhead, Sephi's Valkyrie feeds the grinder. We're ambushed from every side. Some of the best warriors I've ever seen fall with smoking holes in the back of their helmets from grey marksmen. They melt under pulse fist fire. They fall to a gold knight flanked by 7 obsidian till Victra, Sephi, and I put them down with razors. All this to reach the bridge. All this to reach a man who I could have reached out and touched the day before. If this is the cost of honor, give me a shameful murder. If I'd have stabbed Roke in the throat then, Valkyrie would not litter the ground now. Men and women of the Society Navy, this is the Reaper. Your ship has been boarded by the Sons of Ares. I hear my voice over the ship's general comm unit. One of my platoons has reached the communication mainframe in the back of the ship. Every boarding party in my fleet has copies of the speech Mustang and I recorded together to upload to boarded enemy vessels. It exhorts low colors to aid my units, to deactivate lockdown protocol if they can, to unlock doors manually if they cannot, and to storm the armories. Most of these men and women are veterans. It's unrealistic to expect the same sort of conversion as I had on the Pax's crew, but every little bit helps. The announcement works partially on the Colossus. It buys us precious time as we bypass several doors in seconds instead of the minutes it would take to melt through. Roke also turns off the artificial gravity, realizing by watching their tactics that my obsidians don't have zero-G experience. Society Greys push their way through halls like seals underwater, taking their revenge on my floating obsidians, robbed of their closing speed, who've mauled so many of their friends. In the end, one of my teams reactivates the gravity. I have them decrease it to 1/6 Earth standard so that my force is not encumbered by the heavy armor we wear. It's a blessing on our lungs and legs. After cutting through a security team of Greys, we finally reach the bridge, battered and bloody. I crouch, panting, and increase the oxygen circulation in my armor. Swimming in sweat, I activate a stim injection in my gear to keep me from feeling the gash in my bicep where a gold's razor caught me. The needle bites into my thigh. Reports come from my other platoons that we've lost contact with the enemy, which means they're being consolidated by Rogue. Redirected, likely, to us.
back to the bridge door. I stare across the circular, exposed antechamber to the bridge, and remember how my instructor at the academy demonstrated the geometric deadliness of the space for anyone besieging a starburst bridge design like this. Three halls, from three directions, lead to the circular room, including a grav lift in the center. It's indefensible. And Roke's marines are coming.
Roke, darling,
Victor calls up to the cameras in the ceiling as Holliday and her team set up the drill on the door.
How I have pined for you since the garden. Are you there?
She sighs.
I'll just assume you are. Listen, I understand. You think we must be wroth with you. What with the murder of my mother, the execution of our friends, the bullets in the spine, the poison, and a year of torture for dear Reaper and I. But that's not so. We just want to put you in a box. Maybe several. Would you like that? It's very poetic.
Holliday's remaining three commandos are attaching magnetic clamps to the door and mounting their thermal drills. She taps a few commands, and the eye of the drill begins to spin. Seffi returns from her scouting. Her helmet slithers back into her armor.
Many enemies come from tunnel.
She points to the middle hall.
I killed their leader, but more golds follow.
She didn't just kill the leader. She brought his head back. But she's limping, and her left arm bleeds.
Oh, hell! That's Flagellus,
Victor says, regarding the head.
He was in my schoolhouse. Very sweet fellow, actually. Wonderful cook.
How many are coming, Seffi?
Enough to give us a good death.
Shit, shit, shit!
Holliday punches the door behind me. It's too thick, isn't it? I ask.
Yeah.
She pulls her assault helmet off. Her mohawk is smashed to the side. Tense face dripping with sweat.
Door's not VDY specs like the rest of the ship. It's Ganymede Industries. Custom. At least twice as thick.
How long will it take to get through? I repeat.
At full burn? 14 minutes?
She guesses.
14?
Victra repeats.
Maybe more.
I turn, hissing the anger out.